Buenos días. Wow, if you notice that we are a little pale, we spent a rough winter over there, and I wonder how we're going to look like a few months from now after starting another winter here. So, you know, last time I was here, my Spanish was really bad. Now it's much worse. So now I just do my best, and the rest is your responsibility. Okay, but we're so delighted to be here. I meant my English, yeah. Well, you see, I'm a little nervous. This is our very first church that we report. We just got back from Uruguay, and so I am a little bit nervous. And I'm going to read one verse, okay? We'll read one verse out of God's Word. Very, very important verse, especially when we talk about the area of missions. And Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, and good number of us have a long religious history. In my situation, some of you might remember, I got saved out of the Mormon church, was a devout Mormon for many years, and then went to and ended up in a non-denominational church, got saved through InterVarsity. They work with colleges and universities, and then ended up in a Southern Baptist church, and went to a Southern Baptist institution. And then little by little, the Lord led us, and now I'm independent Baptist. So now I believe in evolution. Okay, that's a joke. But, let me tell you something, really, that at least I am sure convinced of, and that is that, you know, I do not know any other religious group that is more, that has more passion, that is more serious, is more committed to fulfill the Great Commission than Independent Baptists. Amen. And our children, my kids, have gone in South America. They have gone to the jungles of South America. And they've gone there by plane, and then they take a bus, and then they take a boat, and then finally get to walk for a long distance to go and preach the gospel. And what a blessing that is. I thank the Lord so much for being part of a church, group of churches that have such a passion to reach the ends of the world with the gospel. And, I thank God for what is getting accomplished, and much has gotten done. And we have to be grateful. Now, of course, we can grow more in our love for missions, and we can be more committed to go to the ends of the world. And we should be praising the Lord for what has gotten accomplished. But the question is, well, should we be satisfied with what where we are, or where we, you know, how are we doing in missions? And of course, we will all say no, definitely not. We will never be satisfied, you know, until the Lord comes or we go to be with the Lord. But let me share with you some principles that I have learned out of God's Word related to missions. And before I do that, let me just say two things. Number one, you know, there are groups, many churches, they do missions influenced by what is called pragmatism. And you know what? What is that word? Your pragmatism is. In other words, they say, "Well, what works? What is the best way to reach the lost?" And you know, what is what is the most practical? What is more efficient? What is the most efficient way to do missions? Well, us as independent Baptists, we actually ask ourselves, what is God's way of doing missions? Amen. What does the Bible say? You know what? Now, because can we improve to God's way of doing things? No way. And we need to go and do God's way. God's work needs to be done God's way. And it's not a matter of whether this is practical, is this going to bring results, or whether that's the secondary questions. The main question is, we want to be biblical. We want to do God's work God's way. And in the Bible, we learn some lessons. I don't know if you remember Uzziah. We are told in 1 Samuel, and then is repeated in 1 Chronicles, where this man he died. God killed him because they were taking the Ark of the Covenant, and he was going to fall, and so he went and he tried to touch it, and he dropped dead. And everybody was shocked. Wow, why did this happen? This man was trying to do something good. Yes, but you know, God has had given very, very specific directions on how they needed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. That's right. And they were not supposed to touch it. And God had warned them, if you touch it, you'll die. And, you know, so we cannot do things our own way. We want to make sure that we're doing it God's way. Amen. And you know, in the area of missions, that is so important. Okay, and for us to look and what does the Bible say? How should we do missions? And let me say that another thing, as we look, especially the book of Acts, you remember that it all started in the church in Jerusalem. And in fact, that was the center of missions for the first 15 years of the Christian church, the church in Jerusalem, and that goes to Acts 1 to 12. And then when we get to verse 13, we see that it is the church of Antioch in Syria that takes the leadership. And so we see that the Acts of the Church of Antioch it takes the church, as we reach the Gentiles, and he goes to the ends of the world of that time, and that's chapter 13 to the end of the book of Acts. And so I want us to look at some principles that are important on missions, on especially as we look at the Church of Antioch. And you know, there are some things that we us as missionaries, but also the church needs to know. As believers, we need to know and have convictions about, and that is that God calls the missionaries. God calls the missionaries, and as we look at the book of Acts, if you can open there, the book of Acts, chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13. And we look at verses 2, Acts 13, and look at verse 2 and 4. It says, "And they minister to the Lord and fasted." Now, this is talking about the church at Antioch, okay? And he says, "And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them." And look at verse 2:4. It says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from henceforth they sailed to Cyprus." Okay? Did you see that it says that God tells the church separate unto me, he says, Paul and Barnabas. And, sometimes God will call our best. You know, in this sense, we see that Paul and Barnabas were there in the church of Antioch. And we know that they were well known in the church. They have become leaders. And Paul and Barnabas, they were mature believers and servants. They had a good testimony. And then God says, God calls them. And then he tells the church, I want them to separate them because I have called them for a special work. And, you know, that is so important. And, you know, we are there in Uruguay establishing independent fundamental Baptist churches, mission-minded. Our churches have a burden to reach out to the lost, and not just around them, but they have a vision of reaching other parts of the world. And I will never forget the Lord called one of our youth pastor. He had been our youth pastor for 7 years from the church that you sent us out almost 30 years ago, and we started that church. And then we had a youth pastor, and just had a wonderful, godly family, and he's doing a tremendous work. And we had a mission conference, and the Lord got a hold of his heart and called him to go and start a church going all up north, about 10 hours away from us. And, I remember when we got the news, you know, they had shared that with me, but as the people from the church, they heard that this was this talented, gifted, precious, godly family was leaving us to go up north. That was not easy. And I remember one of our head deacons, one of our deacons came to me and said, "Brother," he says, "Pastor Archie," he says, "don't worry. I'm going to convince them that what they're going to do is crazy. I mean, they're doing a great job here. God is using them, and they have a tremendous future with us. Why would they go up there? So don't worry. I'm going to talk to them." And I had to sit down with this good deacon and talk to him and say, "Listen, they need to obey the Lord. And that's what God, they need to do what God is asking them to do." And so the Lord, they left, and you see in our presentation, they have gone 10 hours away, and God has blessed tremendously the work over there in Artigas. And God calls, and us as a church, we know we need to let him go. And as we read in the book of Acts, you know, we are told that Philip, he was in Samaria, and the people were getting saved, and he had a strong ministry. People were responding right and left to the gospel. But there, God says, "Philip, I want you to go." And you remember the story. He goes there to the middle of nowhere, and he's standing there, and then there comes the eunuch. And so he led him to Christ, and that was the very first African person that got saved. And then he went, the eunuch, and that was the opening to the gospel in the continent of Africa. And so God calls missionaries, and I always want to make sure that as a missionary, and we go through this experience, or somebody's being called or feels the Lord is calling them to be a pastor, I want to make sure that God is really doing the calling. And they're not going there because, a board is sending them, or because a mission society is sending them. or because of the emotions or the need. You know, there are needs everywhere. But we are told, as we read here, that it was the Holy Spirit that called Paul and Barnabas to go into the mission field. And that's what we call they go and they do their first and then their second and third missionary trip. Okay, so God called the missionaries. And, God will call us even where to go. And now this is not, I know this particular missionary one time sharing with me, and he said, you know, God wanted me in Argentina, but the mission board, they sent me to Thailand. But my heart, I didn't feel that I was called to Thailand. I was called to Argentina, but they said, no, you're not going to go to Argentina. You can go to Thailand if you want. Isn't that strange? I said, where is the Holy Spirit? Right. You know, us as independent Baptists, I'm not here. I didn't come to here so you can send me anywhere, whatever you wish. I came and shared our burden about 30 years ago and shared. God has called us to Uruguay. And we made sure that it was God leading us and where God wanted us. And you respected that. You say God called them. We're not going to tell them where to go. That is God's responsibility, and that's God's job. And thank you so much for, again, being sensitive to the Lord's leading. You took us on for support about 30 years ago. And what a blessed relationship this has been for about 30 years. And because number two, so God calls the missionaries. Number two, the second thing that we notice is that the church recognizes the call and commissions the missionary family. He says in the book of Acts 13:3, he says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands upon them and sent them away. So God called them. God told the church, you know, separate this family, Paul and Barnabas to go to the mission field. And the church obeyed, and they had a commission in service, and they sent them out. And so off they went. And so it is important, again, you know, there are many ways churches do missions. One of the convictions as us as independent Baptists is that we're going to support, or we support missionaries, not a board.
That's right.
But we send our funds to the missionary. And, there are many ways of doing missions. You know, some churches, kind of churches, there's no relationship with the missionary. And all they do is they think sometimes that it's just a matter of finances. And so they send the check at the end of the month for so much, and they send it to a board. And there's no relationship between that church and the missionary. And I used to belong for some time to a group of churches that did missions that way. And I think it's a very cold way of doing missions. And again, honestly, it's just, we don't see that in the Bible. As we read the scriptures, we see, again, the churches, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And we see that there's a relationship between the churches and the missionary. And the missionary, you know, there are many benefits to the missionary. Number one, it says, well, let's talk about the benefits of the church first. You know, again, the church, you know your missionaries. You sense their call. You make sure, you ask questions before you take them on for support. You want to make sure that that missionary is being called by the Lord. And You know, you can hear his testimony, making sure that the missionary is saved, and making sure that he has a philosophy of missions. What is he going to do? And then, you know, you, as the Lord leads, then the church will let you know. And you took him on, you take him on for support. If that is his will, you, as a church, you pray. And so we do the same thing. We are there establishing churches just like yours. And we do missions just like you do here. And then you start take on the missionary for support. And that you don't just give to missions, but you also pray for your missionaries. And, you know, so there are many benefits that a missionary gets when we do missions God's way, the way we see that in the Bible. The missionary, there are many benefits. For one, you know, he feels supported, not just financially, which that is important, but he knows that there are many, many, many people praying for him and his family. He sends, you know, prayer letters, not just to inform the church, which that is important, you know, to inform the church what is going on his mission field. And but he shares his struggles. He shares his issues, and he shares his victories, and he shares his needs with his people. And dear people, what a blessing is to know that our supporting churches are praying for us. And, you know, we know Satan does not want that missionary family on the field. And many, 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 many of them return after the first term. And one of the main reasons is because they are not getting support, spiritual support. Churches, maybe they're not praying for them and their struggles and their needs. And what a blessing, you know, is to be to do missions God's way. And, you know, I could not do missions another way, because then I would be disobedient to the Lord. God's way of doing missions is you decide who, as the Lord leads, the God will lead you, put in your heart as a church, who you're going to support. And you're not just going to support him financially, but you're going to be praying for the missionary. And the missionary, he sends prayer letters. And I've seen some of your prayer letters out there. And so what you go and you read about their needs. And sometimes you can even take a copy of that home and you read it in their devotional and be encouraged and blessed what your missionary dollars are doing on the missions of the world. And you know their needs. And so you pray for your missionaries. But number three. So first we said is God that calls the missionaries. Number two, the church recognize the call and send them out. And then the missionaries are accountable. They're accountable to the churches that send them. You know, I remember as we were deeply involved, you know, I always had a heart for missions. And our church in Dallas, we were we supported missions. We send at the end of the month, we send a check. We were sending 19% went to foreign missions, and at the end of the month, the mission, the treasurer was send out a check to Nashville, Tennessee, and that was for foreign missions. And then we picked up once a year another offering for missions. And can I tell you something? You know, we never met a missionary. I was there 6 years. We never had a missionary come to our church. We never knew. We didn't know any needs. We didn't know how to. Once a month, they will send us a list of missionaries, and we will, somebody in a Sunday night, we had a special program, and especially in the month of November, and somebody will stand up and call a name we never heard before. And then we will pray. But we didn't know. We didn't know any needs. We didn't know what the missionary was going through. And dear people, that is really sad. Amen. Because, you know, missionaries will suffer. And let me tell you as we close, and then maybe we have a little time for questions. I don't know. But I'll never forget meeting with a missionary in Tegucigalpa, in Honduras. This was an elderly fellow, and I invited him for some coffee, and he pointed out, and he pulled this little curtain, and he said, "Brother Archie," he said, do you see that building over there?" And I said, "Yeah, I just." And he said, and he started to cry. And see, that's where my wife spent the last few months of her life. And, you know, he said, "Brother Perez, churches in the States, they don't care about missionaries. They don't care about us. They've forgotten about us." You know, and now this was, again, I was not an independent Baptist. We were doing missions in an unbiblical way. We were doing missions our own way. But then he said, "You know, Archie, during that time that my wife was there, no pastor ever called me. No, I never got a note, never got a letter from somebody from church saying, 'Brother, we're praying for you.'" And he was so discouraged and he was so sad. As I look back and I say, wow. And you know, and I met so many missionaries with that, but again, what a blessing it is to be doing missions God's way. Some of you, I saw one of you ladies came and you showed us, "Hey, here you are with all your 5 kids from long time ago. I have your prayer card. I've been praying for you. I have your prayer cards from your family as well as from the rest of our missionaries. And I pray and you know what it does to us. You know, so we say, "Which one is this? This is the one is getting married? Oh yeah, I remember her." Dear people, that means a lot. That means a lot. That means you really care about missions, doing missions God's way. And please don't take it wrong. Ruth and I were deeply grateful, but it's sad when you just think of sending out a check to a board and so you can fulfill the Great Commission. That's not the way it is. As we look at the scriptures, there's a relationship. Amen. You know your missionaries. You know their needs. You know their names. You know where they're serving. You know their struggles. You know that you come. They share their victories with you. You rejoice. And that is so important. What a blessing it is to be doing missions God's way. Your pastor said something very, very important. And you know, and that is, we the church here has not changed in 30 years. Or more, maybe from its beginning, it's been the same. If we're doing the God's work in the biblical way, why are we going to change? Culture changes, but we're standing on the rock. What about doing missions? You know, there are some churches that they say, "Oh, they feel poor about those poor missionaries going all over the country and raising support, and they feel bad for." And so they're going and say, "We would like to go, instead of supporting, we're just going to send them money to a board." That's tragic. That is sad. And that's not a biblical way of doing missions. Praise God. Thank you so much for being faithful. I pray that you will continue. Since we started out, we had three churches that they stopped doing missions God's way and they decided to do it their own way. And some of them, they say, oh, we feel poor for it. Don't feel poor for, don't feel bad for missionaries. We are blessed. Yeah, we do get a little tired sometimes of traveling and so on. But what a blessing. I will never change. We want to make sure we do in missions God's way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Covenant Baptist Church. Thank you for their obvious love for you and their commitment to reach the ends of the world. Yeah, with the precious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your hand continue upon this church. Thank you for all they have invested in our lives and ministry and in the work there in Uruguay. Thank you, dear God. Thank you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.